This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
Clouds to the left, dark clouds to the right, here I am stuck in the middle.
Hi, I'm Tracy.
And I'm Susan.
And this is the club for women in the middle.
You know, the ones with little kids and big kids and aging parents and work and hormones and money and a to-do list that breeds overnight.
Welcome to the Sandwich Club.
Hey, Tracy, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm pretty good.
That's good.
And what is in your sandwich today?
Ambition versus energy.
I feel I have more ambition than energy, so let's talk about
that. Yeah, that is the case sometimes. Kind of when you talk about ambition, what are you ambitious about these days?
It's really funny, right, because when I hear the word ambition, I immediately think of money.
Wow, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So I don't think, I want to be famous or I want to be, look back and go, I had this illustrious career. Somehow it's my 80s teen life of, you know, greed is good or something. I don't know. But I feel like when I hear ambition, I hear money. Oh, she's very ambitious. To me implies, that's someone that's climbing the ladder and getting richer.
Yes.
And getting more power.
Okay.
You know, so it's kind of, you know, we talked about a couple of episodes back about the guilt of buying the face cream.
Yes.
And having to justify and the language we put around words. And for me, the word ambition, it doesn't actually have a very positive thing about it.
Oh, interesting. I don't know why I'm a little bit different to that. So ambition talks to me about succeeding and doing well and kind of reaching for the stars, but not necessarily about money.
Hmm.
So it's kind of doing well, succeeding. Probably the fame part is for me. I'm a little bit of a diva.
I'm okay with being famous with our two listeners.
Yeah, absolutely.
So does ambition have, it has a positive connotation for you,
Yeah, for the most part. And I think there is an element of it where when you're younger, you have more energy to really push through and kind of do things and pull those late night hours and what have you. And there's almost a little bit of a, I'm a hero and I'm amazing because I do that. But I probably, it looks different for me now.
Mm.
So now I think my ambitions run that I'm more whole. So it's not just about work. It's about maybe overachieving as a grandmom. maybe it'd be a little bit different now.
So what did ambition look like before?
Being top of my game.
Right.
And, making a name for myself. I think that's what it was about. Yeah. And I think in South Africa the culture is go, go, go. Because there's no...
We're about the tall poppy here.
Chop them off.
Yeah.
We're actually kind of rising above is celebrated in South Africa more. I think the Afrikaans, my Oma always used to say to me, and it's in Afrikaans, don't be voor op die waar, which actually means don't sit it on the front of the wagon. Random. Some things just don't translate well, but I suppose it's too big for your britches would be an equivalent. But we understood because I was very showy and let's go and I'm amazing. And you know, I dance and sing for everyone. When I was younger, that got kind of smacked out of me. But because later on, it wasn't like that. But she kind of was like, no, just pull yourself towards yourself and don't shine, don't stick your head out type of thing. So there was an element of that. But in South Africa, you admired for being successful and people kind of want to cheer you on and want to see you succeed.
I think that's improved here.
Yeah.
But there's definitely that we talked a couple of weeks ago about that balance of, you know, if you – put your kids in daycare and go to work because your career is important.
Yeah.
You're kind of, there is still a little bit of a backlash against people that do that, I think.
Yeah. And then those that want to stay at home, they're like, you know, your poor husband has to carry you type
of.
And I've been both because I was 7 years at home and then 7 years in corporate. And I love the corporate because 7 years at home, you do the washing to do the washing, to make the bed, to make the bed. It's just never ending. And no one goes, that was awesome. You really made that bed beautifully. But I got to the office and I did some stupid little thing and someone was like, this is amazing work. And I was like, what? I'm being appreciated.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's very different.
So what's your ambition for the next kind of 5 years versus energy?
So I think for me now, it's kind of, I'm running out of time. Mm. There's a real sense of, I've got so many years left and I still want to make a mark. And I think you've got to be careful, so you don't stick your head up too much. Although I think it's good if we start going, it's actually okay. Let's celebrate one another. And so maybe we need to just kind of step there. But I want to create one of the programs I've got. I want it to be something that's recognized, that is looked at as a top class kind of thing. So I suppose there's still a lot of ambition there. And the kids are moved out, so I can work harder. But also I can decide I'm just going to take the afternoon off and go and spend time with the grandkids. And I think your priorities are different. So spending time with my grandkids is a priority. So it doesn't get kind of pushed aside. Where I think when the kids were growing up, I probably was, you have to prove yourself and you have to make that money. So sometimes they do get a little bit sidelined, which is sad.
I was not overly ambitious for a long time. So I joined the bank, like think about work ambition, joined the bank at 18.
Right.
Was there for a few years, went overseas, came back, joined again, and did that until I was had kids at 34.
Wow.
So about 10 years of banking in that time.
Was it the shoes? Was it the red shoes?
It was the red shoes, The red shoes and the full face of makeup. But, you know, it was good income and all of that kind of thing. But no one ever said to me, oh, you could go a long way here. So I didn't have ambition because I wasn't really singled out as a star. I did a leadership program when I was in my, I'm going to say it was either late 20s or early 30s, and there was only about 15 of us across the whole of Westpac that got to do it. And that was a very interesting experience. So I did this year-long program, which is, when I look back, it's like all other leadership programs. You go once a month, you do the study, you have a journal, you know, all of the things. And on the day of the graduation, we'd all come to Wellington for that, and the facilitator put us in a room and she said, now, you've finished this now. Don't think you're special. You're back to work tomorrow.
Whoa.
You know, you've done the thing and that's great, but that's it. So don't be poncing off thinking that you're all that in a bag of chips. And it was so deflating, like right before we'd gone in to meet the CEO and get our certificates and everything. Yeah.
That's random.
Pretty random. But that probably shaped then, maybe I'm not as good as I thought I was. And I'd say it was probably not then, it was another probably 10 years before I realised actually I could do something and I could make something of myself.
Wow.
By which time I was in my late 40s, so, you know, 10 years ago or 15 years ago or whatever it was, mid-40s, and thought, oh, I could do something. And now with facing the barrel of 60, I'm thinking, oh, have I run out of time? Have I run out of energy?
Energy's a kind of thing at the moment, right?
And that's quite a weird thing because you should have heaps of energy if there's no kids at home.
Yeah, right.
And for me, there's no other human in the house.
Yeah.
I should have all the energy in the world. But
I think it's all caught up to us for all those late nights and pushing. And
I'm putting all my energy into eating bags of chips and watching TV instead of my career or whatever. Yeah. But I do get that thing about making your mark. And I know, some of the people listening know about this, but when I got involved in the project to get the train going between Hamilton and Auckland, and initially it was, you know, me and one other person and a really badly named Facebook page, and it just grew and grew and grew and grew. And then we reached this point where I got a call, you know, there was lots of lobbying and what have you. The committee grew and then people fell away and it was just me. It was just me.
Oh my goodness.
And that a was Facebook a big group. But RNZ, TVNZ, Regional Council, Central Government, they all thought it was a big organisation. Actually, it was just me.
Oh my gosh.
And so finally, you know, that project happened and I got to go down and see the trains being built and go on the first trip and all of that. And that sense of achievement, I felt like, well, you know, I hate the expression legacy project because, again, it sounds a bit self-indulgent or something. But, it was super exciting. Oh, I've made my mark there. Wow. But now I feel like, okay, well, that's been going for 5 years now.
Right.
What's next? What else could I make my mark on? Yes. I don't know.
Yeah. And that's, I think, quite significant. This is what kind of irritates me a bit. I might keep this for a little. But this is a time where you've gathered incredible experience and incredible wisdom and knowledge. And this is often the time where people feel like they're the least productive or they're perceived as having nothing to offer.
Yeah.
And yes, maybe we are a little bit forgetful and things, you know, your brain's not really working that well. But it's momentary and it's about other things. We still have all this knowledge and wisdom. And I think that's quite something.
And it is quite weird that men don't have this.
No, they can
right? Like a man of 58 is in the prime of his career.
Right. And but seen a woman as wise.
And seen it, yeah. And yet a woman at 58 is like, oh.
Yeah.
She's going to be gone soon. She'll be retiring soon. Do we want someone that age running our organisation? It's so strange.
It is strange because I think often women carry a different kind of wisdom that is so important.
Mm.
So, so important.
Mm. But I do worry about what if you get the big job and you don't have the energy?
Yeah. Do you think we do worry about that? And there are times when we don't have the energy. But do you think it's because we don't have something that we're chasing?
Yeah, or aspiring to. Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe.
This sense of a lack of kind of direction, purpose, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, I would say if I kind of just do a mental flick around my friend group, the majority are pretty happy with what they're doing. I wouldn't say many people are in that ambitious stage other than need if they're like me and need to have a mortgage paid off or whatever. Yeah. I don't think there's many that are in there.
Mm.
50s going, oh yeah, I'm chasing that CEO position or whatever.
Yeah.
Ambition, I think you're right, ambition looks different.
Yeah.
But somehow career ambition in your 50s is seen as a bit distasteful or something. Yeah. I don't know what it is.
Sad. Because you've got all this experience that can just be amazing.
Yeah.
And I think we do have the time. And yet, do you think it's because we're conditioned that, well, you can move aside now? We need to have a little revolution.
Yeah, revolution. And I don't actually even think it's you can move aside there. I think because our generation is largely the first generation where women are doing this. So right back in about episode one or two, I talked about, you know, my grandmother working until she was 85 or whatever it was.
But that was not the norm.
Very unusual. Yeah. And some women had jobs, but they were the exception.
Yeah.
So I think our generation being the ones that are working, maybe taking a career break for children or not, and then keeping going, that's fairly unusual. Because if you look around at senior organisations, there's not that many women that are in their 50s that are leading those organisations.
Yeah.
There's lots of young millennials that seem to be, how are these 30-year-olds doing this? How are they doing it?
Yeah, I don't know.
Where does the money come from?
Yeah. Well, I think, I don't know, because I look at them and, you know, you see they get married and they want the full house, all the fancy furniture, everything, best schools. And we kind of, when we moved into our flat, we had grandma's one chair and uncle's kind of really shabby whatever. And we didn't have expectations that it was just going to be beautiful and, you know, have the fancy everything.
Mm.
It's just different ambitions.
So I guess that's the question, right? If they're ambitious, we look at them and go, oh, honestly, who do you think you are? You've got notions, as the Irish would say. You have notions. But we don't judge ourselves like that. But we judge the 30-year-old for being ambitious, and yet we say to ourselves, oh, you should be more ambitious.
Yeah.
So I don't know. That maybe we're a little bit jealous that they at 30 have got these gigantic houses in the country and fancy cars and shop at Journey & Co. And,
not fair.
You know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Maybe because our generation felt the guilty about anything like that. So we were like, oh, we can't possibly have that because it's just little old me.
Yeah.
What the heck is that about, man? I know.
And the weird thing was we were teenagers in the 80s where greed was good.
Yeah.
So I don't understand that.
Well, maybe because, you know, the boomers were kind of doing that and we were looking at it going, that's a bit rough.
Yeah.
Maybe there was a kind of under the surface kind of embarrassment of that. I don't know.
Mm.
Yeah.
Has there ever been a career you thought, oh, I'd love to have a go at doing that thing? Or do you feel like you're living your best life now?
I wish it paid better, but I'm really living my best life right now. I love what I do. I feel like everything that I've lived through, everything that I've learned has led me to this point.
Mm.
And I really, really love it. And there's a real sense of purpose and calling and all that. So I get to do what I'm, I, to work towards my strengths, which is amazing. Well, it's when you're your business, you build it around yourself. So I do love it. Yeah, I can't think of a time where I kind of started off in as a receptionist, because, you know, that's what you start off with. And then they put me into the accounts kind of thing. They were like, yeah, she's got no head for numbers. We'll put her into student advising. And they realized, then I realized I love working with people. But I've never, even when I was doing my MBA, you know, Gary was like, oh, good, you're going to, you know, become a CEO and make lots of money. And I was like, that was never the reason why I did that. A lot of the people in that room were doing it so they could become CEOs, and I never wanted that. I just wanted to have more knowledge, and it was kind of, I just wanted that picture with me in the cap and the gown, just for me, because I would have been the first person in my family. So it wasn't for anyone else except just me, and I loved it now that it's all finished.
Yeah.
I never
wanted to be a CEO until I was one.
Yeah, and how did that?
And I was like, wow,
did that come into your lap?
And I have to say, I didn't really believe in myself. I was kind of almost embarrassed about it, because it was only a small organisation. It was a part-time job, but it was still a chief executive title. But the first one I had, I was like, oh, can I do this? And I really struggled with that.
Yeah,
owning that and being actually,
that's
I'm
really
good
sad,
at that thing,
because I think you are a remarkable woman. And so I'm always surprised to hear that when remarkable women kind of see themselves less than,
in a sense. Yeah.
But, maybe it's whatever that is. But, it's looking from the outside surprised, because you fit the space.
Fake it till you make it, Tracy.
Yeah. No, I think it was. I think.
And buying all your clothes at an op shop.
There we
say.
Go. That's. That's sad, because I don't think you got to enjoy that role and the impact you're making. Even the train thing, you know, you look at it and you, even as you're talking it, you're kind of making it small, like it wasn't that bad, it was just me. But that was a remarkable thing to do.
It kind of was. Yeah. And when I look back now and think, how did I manage to keep up that facade that we were this massive organisation? And and I would be rung up quite regularly, you know, and by the radio and whatever, and asked to do things and stuff. Yeah, and it was only later that I confessed, well, actually, it was just me.
Me and me.
It was just me, you know.
Yeah.
And then it grew again, and now it's had another iteration. And actually, there's still ambition in that for me, but it's not my ambition anymore. But I would love to see that project continue and them do stage two.
Yeah.
And there's been a few people involved along the way, and I think the ones that are doing it now are the right people to do what needs to be done. But, that ambition for that is there, but I cheer them from the sides. You know?
That's interesting. Because you almost, you know, if you think about it, even the CEO role, was that about serving others rather than serving yourself?
Oh, that's a deep question. I think I saw, so the first one, which was with the chamber, I just saw it as a way to do the things I liked doing, which was, you know, running events and meeting people and, you know, all of the stuff. And it was a fun job. In fact, I was reflecting the other day, when I look back on my career, every job I've ever had, I've gone, this is the best job I've ever had. And I just work with the best people.
Yeah.
And I felt like that about pretty much every job. So that's
pretty cool.
Either I've had really terrible jobs and I'm completely blind to it, or it's just getting better and better, I don't know. But I feel really lucky that every job has had that. And maybe and that's not about ambition. It's probably about energy, though.
Yes, yes.
Because that is about the energy you bring into the role, right? Because generally, if you hear someone say, I can never get good staff, particularly in really big organisations, I mean, small ones, it's much harder. But if you're talking about an organisation with 100, 150, 500 staff or whatever, we can never get good people. Well, I think it's completely different if you're got 5 staff, 10 staff, 20, then it's harder. But for those big ones, and to say, you don't enjoy your job, well, that's probably about you, not about the people. If you're in a big place.
Yeah.
But the energy that's required in small organisations is higher.
Yes.
So I got a buzz out of the job at the chamber and at the orchestra, both CEO roles. The English school was a general manager's job, but kind of, you know, so I didn't have all the stress of a CEO, which was kind of nice. That was kind of next step down, or it was a cross, really.
Yeah.
But they still require lots of energy.
Yes.
So I'm now in the stage of, because I'll be finishing up my current work in 2 weeks, what am I going to do next? And yeah. I am a little bit torn between okay. do I want the CEO role? I kind of do because I'm ambitious. Yeah. I'm ambitious for that.
Yeah.
And I miss that opportunity to make the impact yourself because when you're in a big organisation, you can't.
Yeah.
I'm
it's a little ripple.
I'm one of 6,000 people where I am now.
Right, yeah.
I mean, honestly.
Yeah.
So while the work I'm doing at the moment will have a lasting legacy and be used because it's current work I'm doing is stuff for the whole country, it's not the same as being able to make the decision about what the work is.
Yeah.
But I'm torn between that, which I know will require lots of energy and do I get a safer job where I'm a kind of tier 5 or 6 down the line in the organisation where I can have a little bit of impact in my own little area without all the stress of it, you know?
Yeah.
But it will require less energy.
Yeah. So think about the times where you had the CEO roles and what have you. What was your energy like then?
Well, I was young, so I had heaps.
Yeah, but maybe it was because there was – it was something that you were really enjoying and there was a sense of purpose and service. Because I think for you it is about serving others and making it easier and good for others.
Yeah.
So when you're in that space, I think that will bring the energy rather. And I think we sometimes think we need the energy first to kind of do it.
Yeah,
but actually I think if you in something where all your everything's like, this is amazing, that will maybe bring the energy. Mm.
Yeah, I remember someone saying to me, you should be around people that make you sparkle.
Yeah.
She's listening. Hi, Raywin. And I think that particular sentence has always sat with me because I think that's absolutely true.
So
and you know, when your light's being dimmed, they're not not your people.
No.
And that's the energy sucker.
Yes.
You know when you meet those people that are energy suckers, you walk in the room, you're like, oh,
it's you.
Yeah.
Do I have the energy for today?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I can think of someone that I love them to bits, but I'm just like, oh, I love you, but, you know. And
enough kind of, now.
Yeah. Like, okay, I love you, and now I've got to go.
Yeah.
Because I can only take so much. But it's a precious, precious person. Love them to bits. Yeah.
So in terms of next steps, what would you do? What do you want to do?
Yeah.
What have you got the energy for?
Yeah. So one of the things that I'm playing with that I'm actually doing right now, I think something is holding me back because I'm ambitious for it, but I've got to do an action right now and there's a part of me that's kind of holding back on it. And like I'm thinking, what is that? Maybe it's the fear of is it going to actually work? And it is. And maybe it's, you know, that thing of, man, my brain's a bit squishy at the moment and can I actually deliver on that? So maybe it's a bit of that.
Mm.
But, yeah, so I'm going to hold myself accountable to you to go, have you actually done that? Have
done
you
the thing.
Done the thing? Because I don't know if you lose. I think I feel more confident now than I did when I was younger because I think I've proved time and time again that I can. So
you also realise that if you can't, it doesn't matter.
Yeah. Yeah,
so, you know,
okay.
Failure, whatever.
Yeah. And also I don't care that much about what people think about me. I'm like, I am not an ice cream. Not everyone needs to like me. And I'm okay with that. I think when I was younger, I wouldn't do things because I was like, what if it fails? And I embarrass myself. And then people think I'm stupid. I'm like, whatever.
Don't care now. So when I think about, you know, people will think I'm stupid, that is an excellent segue into my rant for the week. And my rant is about LinkedIn.
Yes.
Seriously, people, don't tell me you're humbled. It's pathetic.
Yes.
You're not humbled.
No.
You're not humbled, you're proud.
Yes.
So every time I see someone, even if it's like a third tier contact saying, I'm humbled to announce I've got, I write, no, you're not. You're proud. You should own that.
Every
time.
You should do that.
Because
yeah.
I just find humbled, it's one of those words that just makes my stomach turn.
Yeah. And actually,
if you were humbled, you wouldn't be putting it on LinkedIn.
No, exactly. And I think you're okay to go, actually, I'm really proud of this.
Yeah.
And that's okay. Do you think it's that tall poppy syndrome?
Oh, yeah. I think it's, I don't know what it is. I just find it ingratiating and really annoying.
Yeah. Okay. So I've got a remedy.
Oh, good.
Yes.
For that.
Because it's a rant and a remedy. Because it's like, don't be sending your emails at 2 o'clock in the morning. And I've done it where I've thought, should I show them how late I'm working? Because we can actually schedule it.
Yes.
And don't expect me to answer it at 9 o'clock, even though I actually have looked at it. And now I'm starting to think about it.
See, because the 2 a.m. is a humble brag as well, eh?
Totally.
Like, oh, look at me working at 2 a.m.
Yeah, I'm working so hard. So if you are working at nighttime, that's great. We're yay for you. But Blumen, use the schedule button and schedule it for 8 o'clock.
That's a very, very good tip. Yeah. Very good tip. No more humble bragging.
No.
Hey, gee, that half an hour went really fast.
Oh, my goodness. So quick. So much to talk about,
so much
right?
to talk about. And I think we're going to talk a bit more about careers and, you know, that stuff, and particularly the financial things.
Yeah.
Another
Looking forward
time.
To that. Excellent.
See you next time.
See you later. Bye.
Hey, thanks for joining us today.
We're stoked if something in this episode sounded like you.
Come and find us on Instagram and tell us your moment. We read every message at the Sandwich Club Pod.
You can listen to the Sandwich Club wherever you get your podcast, here at Free FM or Apple, Spotify, or all the usual places.
And you can email us too, thesandwichclubpod@gmail.com.
We'll meet you in the middle.
Here I am, stuck in the middle.
This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.